Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Gardaí have circulated a poster in both English and Polish as the investigation continues into the murder of Sebastian Adamovic. The number of people waiting admission to Letterkenny University Hospital has risen once again with 37 people without beds, inpatient beds this morning. A Donegal deputy has said the latest Pobl HP deprivation index shows that Donegal continues to be left behind, and it's been claimed that waste from Donegal is piling extra costs onto people in Derry and Strabane. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have sport with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15. First in news, Gardaí are beginning to circulate a poster in both English and Polish as the investigation continues into the murder of 36-year-old Polish national Sebastian Adamovic. A checkpoint was carried out yesterday in the Gortley area as part of a reconstruction of the last known movements of Mr. Adamovic. The 36-year-old was found with extensive head injuries in a house in Sylvan Park on Wednesday last. He later died in hospital. A copy of the posters is available on our website, highlandradio.com. The number of people awaiting admission to Letterkenny University Hospital has risen once again, with 37 people without inpatient beds this morning, 10 up on yesterday's figure. Of those, 24 were on emergency department trolleys. Diana Moe says the Letterkenny figure was the second highest in the country, along with Galway. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlough says the INMO figures should act as a wake-up call for the Minister for Health and the HSE to fast-track the reopening of a short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital. He says that would help ease pressure.
The Irish Nurse and Midwife Organisation figures in relation to the amount of people waiting in trolleys in October highlight once again the need for additional bed capacity in Letterkenny Hospital, and in particular the need for an absolutely urgent confirmation and decision from the government to actually award an additional €1.8 million to the hospital to allow it to reopen 20 beds in the short stay ward. That space is now available and has been available since the summer, and the HSE hospital management made the request to the HSE for the €1.8 million required to provide additional nursing and support staff to have that ward provide additional capacity for the hospital. But the HSE nor the Minister for Health have not ensured that that's been forthcoming, and it's absolutely crucial, particularly now as we head into the winter, that the HSE do provide that funding and that we see the actual capacity of our hospital increased by 20 beds to try and address the situation where people on a daily basis now are waiting on trolleys at the hospital for admission.
And you're going to continue this fight until the short stay ward is hopefully reopened?
Certainly. I have been pressing the HSE on this for the last number of weeks, and indeed raised it in the Dáil with the Taoiseach as well. But so far, the government have refused to actually take this crucial and absolutely necessary step. The hospital have indicated that within a month of them actually being awarded the funding, that they will be able to have the 20 beds operational. So the sooner it happens, the better. There's no excuse. It's simply a government inaction that means that this decision hasn't been approved.
Meanwhile, the head of the College of Surgeons says elective surgeries are the key to solving bed shortages. Professor John Highland wants to see non-emergency treatments restricted to one hospital per region. He says urgent cases could be treated in a separate hospital and surgeons could commute between facilities.
The bigger hospital will take the complex problems, the emergency problems, and you could put the elective surgery into a unit in one of the other hospitals, and that would mean that elective surgery would happen because it would not be impacted upon by emergencies.
Gardaí are currently attending the scene of a road traffic collision at Tully Wrap on the main Letterkenny to Lifford Road. No further details are currently known. A Donegal deputy has said the latest Pobl HP deprivation index shows that Donegal continues to be left behind due to an imbalance in regional development. The report has found that areas of Donegal continue to be the most deprived in the country, with communities furthest from major towns tending to be poor. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says he has consistently warned the government over their neglect of rural Ireland. He says the effect of government policies has led to the closure of post offices, Garda stations and the closure of banks in Raphoe and Ardra. Researcher Trots Haas, who was involved in the study, says there needs to be major policy change.
Of course, we don't have a political willingness by the major parties here to really address those inequalities. They're just quite happy to trot along with it. The first thing towards a better society is to acknowledge the differences and then to start developing policies which start looking to reduce these inequalities.
Meanwhile, a Donegal County Councillor is warning that Donegal and other rural parts of Ireland are being eliminated in the draft National Planning Framework. The plan, which sets out the government's strategic plan for Ireland leading up to 2040, currently focuses on Dublin, Cork, Limerick, Galway and Waterford, with a view of accommodating 50% of overall national growth between them. Councillor Paul Canning says the plan in its current format does not focus on counties like Donegal, and without proper infrastructure, the plan will ultimately fail.
The situation with the National Planning Framework, it is focusing on the major five major cities in this country, and it's sending everybody in that direction. Now, as we all know, the infrastructure is not there in them major cities. The same thing then is happening at the local area where all of the focus is on the major towns. I think the National Planning Framework and the Development Plan should be leaving items as is until the proper infrastructure is in place. At present, the proper infrastructure is not in place and we need major, major investment in our county and in our country.
Do you feel that the current draft plan eliminates Donegal, as it were?
The current plan at the minute eliminates all rural counties, not just Donegal, all the rural counties. It's all about bringing it into the major urban centres. And that does not work in a country like Ireland. Ireland is rural by nature. And I think the people at the top need to start realising that.
And if they proceed with this plan, what will be the general impact for Donegal?
The general impact for Donegal will be you'll have major traffic chaos in our major towns. You'll have the demise of the rural countryside, and so far as your schools, your post offices, your garda stations will all be closing down, because the people will be told, or they'll be policy driven into our major towns. And that we cannot allow that to happen. But at the present, at national level, it is out of the local councillors' hands.
It's been claimed that waste from Donegal is piling extra costs onto people in Derry and Strabane. Councillor Patsy Kelly says up to 30% of the items being brought to recycling facilities in the council area are coming from across the border, and that is putting pressure on other services. Speaking earlier on the 9 till noon show, he said the situation is being monitored.
Derry and Strabane route pairs are picking up the cost of an extra maybe 25 to 30% of rubbish is coming in from Donegal to our recycling along the border. And the council is trying to monitor this, or what volume of is coming in. There is a big volume coming in. That cost has been met then by the route pairs of Derry and Strabane. Our costs with rubbish and waste is huge, which an extra 25 or 30% extra rubbish is going to put costs onto us, where we have to find the money for that, which diverts money away from something else for other projects within the district council area.
The junior minister for education, John Halligan, is under mounting pressure to pay a fine for asking a civil servant if she was married from his own pocket. The minister is in Thailand at the moment, but his question at an interview has been described as discriminatory and unacceptable by the Taoiseach. Francis Fitzgerald said Minister Halligan is due home on Sunday and will make a more detailed statement then.
The minister's questions during the interview were discriminatory and they were unacceptable, and that's absolutely clear. Minister Halligan has expressed regret for what happened. The incident should never have happened, and he has accepted that. In relation to your point about an apology, of course the person is owed an apology, and I would unequivocally give that.
New plans have been launched on both sides of the border this week, seeking to support small Indigenous companies which are trying to expand. Both initiatives are particularly anxious to help companies export their goods and services, and coincidentally both have set out a target of 400 jobs in the coming years. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Today, Derry City and Strabane District Council announced a new support programme for enterprises in the council area that employ fewer than 50 people and have an annual turnover of less than £10 million. The council says Business Boost is an innovative project to help create new sustainable jobs in the area while also strengthening the local business base. Louise Breslin is the council's business development manager.
What we need to do is very much tailor the support that we're providing to the needs of local companies. What we're ultimately hoping is that this will in turn lead to the creation of new jobs within the Derry City and Strabane District Council area. What we would love to be doing going forward is referring these companies on to Invest Northern Ireland. When the Business Boost programme has really taken them and elevated them to a level where they can actually leverage that Invest NI support.
In Donegal, it's been confirmed that five businesses will benefit from a shared investment of €125,000. O'Donnell's Bakery Lahey, Kinnegar Brewing Letterkenny, Simply Inish Mallon, Sendmode.ie Letterkenny and Mean IT Letterkenny will each receive €25,000 to help fund growth plans. The announcement comes following the launch this week of the Local Enterprise Development Plan 2017-2020, which also envisages the creation of 400 jobs in the county over the coming years. Michael Tunney is head of the Local Enterprise Office in Donegal. He says it's important for high targets to be set. The challenge now, he says, is devising strategies to achieve them.
How do we do that through the Local Enterprise Office, but also how do we do that working in partnerships with the like of Letterkenny Institute of Technology, the Educational Training Board, Enterprise Ireland and others at local level? Because if we keep setting the bar low, that's where we keep achieving. So we need to raise the expectations and our ambition in the county, and particularly as a business community. And our role in the Local Enterprise Office is to try and enable that, I suppose, to raise that ambition and to work with businesses to achieve greater outputs by way of employment, but also rate of sales and market penetration in international markets.
A €230,000 investment has been announced for libraries throughout Donegal. The funding is part of a national government strategy for local libraries, with €3.7 million being made available to libraries across the country. In Donegal, €172,000 has been made available by central government, with Donegal County Council matching funds of €57,500. Catherine Gaffney reports.
Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh has welcomed €230,000 funding for libraries throughout Donegal. Minister McHugh says the investment will significantly modernise the public library service, enhance the range and quality of services, and provide a strong base to underpin the launch of the new local library strategy to be rolled out next year. Improvements to Donegal libraries will include RFID self-technology to support the introduction of self-service machines, as well as additional machines and the modernisation of existing machines. Funding will also supplement existing resources, online resources and extra ICT facilities, as well as improving book stock for the Right to Read initiative.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And it's 16 minutes past five, time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, there's no new injury concerns as the Republic of Ireland squad set off for Copenhagen and the first leg of their World Cup playoff with Denmark. Burnley pair Jeff Hendrick and Stephen Ward, they've come through sessions and will be fit to play. Only Bradford keeper Colin Doyle has returned to his club. Meanwhile, injured pair Seamus Coleman and John Walters, they have linked up with the squad, much as they did for the final group games with Moldova and Wales. Well, it's a big night for Northern Ireland. They play host to Switzerland in the first leg of their playoff. Michael O'Neill says that the Irish Northern Ireland must seize the initiative ahead of that first leg with Switzerland in Belfast. The side have won 7 of their last 10 competitive home games, and the Northern Irish are attempting to reach the finals for the first time since the 1986 World Cup in Mexico. They're also aiming to qualify for back-to-back major tournaments for the first time, having reached the last 16 of Euro 2016. Also tonight, Croatia, they face Greece. Both those games kick off at 7:45. Back at home, there are two of the SSE Electricity Premier Division's top four have benefited from Galway United's relegation. Cork City have announced their third new signing of the week, with Colm Horgan joining the double winners. And Derry City, they have signed Rory Hale as they aim to plug the gap left by Barry McNamee, who's gone to Cork. Despite their double success, only three Cork players have been named in the PFA Team of the Year. Defender Ryan Delaney, midfielder Gerard Morrissey, and now Preston striker Seanan Maguire. They're all in that team. The runners up in the league and the cup, Dundalk. They have four players in the 11. They're Sean Gannon, Nicholas Vermeuland, Patrick Magalini, and David McMillan. The team is completed by a Derry pair of Jair Doherty in goal and Aaron McAniff, Shamrock Rovers' Trevor Clark, and Galway's Ronan Murray. Maguire, Magalini, and McAniff are all nominated for the Player of the Year. And the semi-final draw has been made for the National Under-15 League. Group 1 Tabletoppers Fun Harps, they welcome Athlone Town to Fun Park in the second semi-final, with the winner of the fixture set to host the final. On the other side of the draw, Bray Wanderers of or Wexford will face each other in the quarter-final on Sunday. They travel to Richmond Park to face Group 4 Tabletoppers St Patrick's Athletic. The dates and venues for the semi-final will be confirmed soon. In Gaelic games and colleges Gaelic football, the LYT men's team, they defeated GMIT by 3 points today in Galway, and they go through to the Higher Education Division 2 semi-final. Full-time score today was LYIT 116, GMIT 113. The goal scorer for the Letterkenny team today was Derek Jigger O'Connor. The LYIT, under the management of Eddie Glacken today, they trailed by 8 points at one stage, and they rallied with a great second half performance to set up a semi-final against the Garda College, likely to be next Wednesday. Moving on to rugby, and Bundy Aki, he'll earn his first Ireland cap on Saturday after he's named in the centre for Saturday's test with the Springboks. He'll be partnered in the centre by former Connacht teammate Robbie Henshaw. It's a partnership Henshaw's looking forward to renewing.
You know, he's a class player, and I enjoy playing off him and feeding off him. He's added real value to our group, and the boys have enjoyed his company here, so I'm really looking forward to having him on the pitch and letting him express himself against the South Africans, because he has that experience in the past playing in Super Rugby, and you know, he'll bring real energy to our group.
Elsewhere, there's a first start on the wing for Jacob Stockdale, while another wing is manned by Munster's Andrew Conway, with Keith Ayres out injured. In the pack, there's a recall for Cian Healy, while the Lions' back row of Peter O'Mahony, Sean O'Brien and CJ Stander will all start, with Rob Kearney named at fullback. Joey Carberry must content himself with a spot among the replacements. The South African side shows three changes from the one that lost to the All Blacks by just a point in the Rugby Championship last month. Loosehead Tendi Matari, he's known as the Beast, he comes into the side. He's joined in the front row by tighthead Kwane Oosthuizen, Damien Almandy's restoration to the centre is the final change. Sticking with rugby, and former Leinster out half Ian McKinley set to make his debut for Italy this weekend. He's been named on the bench for the Azzurri's test with Fiji. McKinley's achievement is all the more incredible considering an eye injury forced him to quit the game 6 years ago. He's since been able to make his comeback and forge a career in Italy with the aid of pioneering goggles. Moving on to golf, and the Nedbank Golf Challenge is taking place this week in the European Tour. It's in Sun City in South Africa. Shane Lowry shot an even par round today of 72. Paul Dunne and Patrick Harrington, they're 2 over par. Leading the way is Bernd Wiesberger. He's in 5 under par, one ahead of Julian Suri, Brandon Grace, Scott Jameson and Victor Dubuisson, who are all in 4 under par. In the PGA Tour this week, it's the Macoba Classic taking place in Mexico. And Patton Kazire leads the way on 9 under par. He's 3 ahead of Ricky Fowler, and Retief Goosen is back and further shot back on 5 under par. Seamus Power, he's level par through 11 holes. Finally, for this evening in boxing, heavyweight boxing champion Anthony Joshua has been taunting potential new opponents in an out-of-character series of tweets this morning. He then insulted fellow British fighter Tyson Fury using an expletive, telling him to get fit. That was after saying he's ready and waiting to hear from WBC champion Deontay Wilder's camp. He also claims WBO holder Joseph Parker's camp have made no offer for a fight and continues to sip tea. That's all your sport for this evening. And the next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. People with disabilities are twice as likely to experience discrimination in all areas of their life. The latest ESRI study has found that while 1 in 8 people have encountered some form of discrimination, it's more prevalent among some groups. Irish travellers are almost 10 times more likely than the white Irish group to experience it when seeking work, and over 22 times more likely to experience it in accessing private services. The SRI's Dr. Francis McGinty says discrimination can have a huge impact on people's lives.
It violates human rights, and also because there are individual and social costs. So for the individual, international research shows that there are psychological, health, financial costs of not getting that job or not being able to live in affordable housing. And at societal level, discrimination is associated with underusing talent, economic inefficiencies.
And for weather now, this evening will be mostly dry with some bright or sunny spells. However, thickening cloud will bring rain to coastal counties later. Lowest temperatures tonight of 5 to 7 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Gardaí are beginning to circulate a poster in both English and Polish as the investigation continues into the murder of 36-year-old Polish national Sebastian Adamowicz. A Donegal deputy has said the latest Pobl HP deprivation index shows that Donegal continues to be left behind due to an imbalance in regional development. The report has found that areas of Donegal continue to be the most deprived in the country, with communities furthest from major towns tending to be poorer. Gardaí are currently attending the scene of a road traffic collision at Tully Wrap on the main Letterkenny to Lifford Road. And the number of people awaiting admission to Letterkenny University Hospital has risen once again, with 37 people without inpatient beds this morning, 10 up on yesterday's figure. Of those, 24 were on emergency department trolleys. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. Good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 9th of November. The sudden death has taken place at Altmagavan Hospital of Natasha Rogers, daughter of Liam Rogers and Mary Duddy. Her remains will repose at her mother's home, number 1, Windmill View, Glencar, Letterkenny, from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to St Eunan's Cathedral for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Heart Foundation, care of any family member. The death has taken place at his home of Trevor Kane, 108 St Finian's Park, Moville. Funeral from his home on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Pius X Church, Moville, followed by burial in St Columb's Church of Ireland Burial Ground. The death has taken place of Anna McMurray, Grey Rock, Milford, formerly of County Down. Her remains will repose at her daughter Brenda and Michael Gibbons' residence at Grey Rock from 7 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St Peter's Church, Milford, with burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. The house is private, please. The death has taken place at the Donegal Hospice of Sarah Callaghan, Cool Cross, Clonmany. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Her remains will arrive at St Mary's Church, Clonmany at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening for prayers and repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. No flowers, please. The death has taken place of Con Doherty, Manchester, formerly of Gaddy Duff, Clonmany. His remains will repose at St Columbkill's Oratory, Clia, Clonmany, from 2 o'clock tomorrow. Removal from there on Saturday at 6 to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Sunday morning at 11:30, with burial afterwards in the new cemetery. The death has taken place of Breed B. Cosgrove, née Comerford, 22, Coolmore Road, Derry. Funeral from her home on Saturday at 9:30 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Pennyburn. Interment afterwards in Athlgavan Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the MS Society or Foyle Down Syndrome Trust, care of W.J. O'Brien and Son Funeral Directors, 110 Clooney Road, Eglinton. And the death has taken place of Pat Heaney, Derry Gra, Goddenhill Fawn, husband of Kate. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral tomorrow, leaving his home at 10:30 to St Mary's Church, Fawn, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow.